Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is One Day at Horrorland. Goosebumps number 16. Dune Reads Goosebumps number 20. It's obviously by R.L. Stine, as per usual. The cover of this book is like a... God damn it, I hate being colorblind. Maybe it's purple or pinkish green, god damn it. And it's a sign that says "Welcome to Horrorland, where nightmares come to life," and it has like an overgrown amusement park, kind of like the old abandoned Six Flags outside of New Orleans. And the tagline is "Enter if you dare." So that's pretty disappointing. Let's just dive into it. I'm drinking a tall can of Old English 800 malt beverage inside of the official reddit.com/r/cripplingalcoholismcozy. Chapter 1. As we entered the gates to Horrorland, we had no idea that in less than an hour, we would all be lying in our coffins. I'm the calm one in the Morris family. Everyone says, "Lizzie, you're the calm one." And I'm trying to tell this story calmly. But believe me, there is no way. We never planned to go to Horrorland. In fact, we'd never even heard of it. The five of us were squeezing into Dad's yellow Toyota on our way to spend the day at the Zoo Gardens theme park. Dad had messed up and left the map at home, but Mom said the park would be really easy to find. You know how women are with directions. When we got close to the park, Mom said there would be lots of signs to direct us, but so far, we hadn't seen a single sign. Dad was driving, and Mom was beside him in the front. I was squeezed in the back with my little brother Luke, who is 10, and Luke's friend, Clay. It wasn't the best place to be. My brother cannot sit still for a second, especially in the car. He just has too much energy, and he's totally goofy. The longer we drove, the more restless Luke became. He tried wrestling with Clay, but there really wasn't room. Then, he tried arm wrestling with him, and the two of them kept bumping into me until I lost my temper and started shouting at them to stop. "Ah! Why don't you three play alphabets?" Mom suggested from the front. "Look out the window for letters!" Wow, that sounds like a horrible game. Apparently that's what people did on road trips before iPods and DSs and... I guess just iPods and DSs. I don't know what people do nowadays. Apparently some people have PSPs, but I don't like those people. "There aren't any," Luke replied. "There aren't any signs. There isn't anything to look at," Clay grumbled. He was right. We are driving past flat, sandy fields. There were a few scraggly trees here and there. The rest was all desert. "I'm going to take this turn off," Dad announced. He took off his Chicago Cubs cap and scratched his thinning blonde hair. "Haven't I already taken this turn off?" Wow, them going to the desert and it's like an abandoned amusement park thing is... is that the hint at the sweet, sweet abandoned, why am I so well-versed on abandoned amusement parks? But there's the abandoned water park that when you're driving into Vegas from LA area, never mind. Dad is the only blonde in the family. Mom, Luke, and I all have straight black hair and blue eyes. In fact, Dad doesn't look as if he belongs in the same family. We all just look like the mailman. The three of us are tall and thin and very fair-skinned, and Dad is short and kind of chubby with a round face that's almost always pink. I tease him all the time because he needs to take a paternity test. Oh, I also say that he looks a lot more like a wrestler than a bank manager, which he is. That was poorly worded to the point where you could say that he's either a bank manager or a wrestler. I'm going to assume the dad's a wrestler, so I will take his lines like this from now on. "I'm pretty sure we've already been here, brother," Dad said unhappily. "It's hard to tell. It's all desert," Mom replied, gazing out of her window. "Very helpful, brother," Dad muttered. "How can I be helpful?" Mom shot back. "You're the one who left the fucking map on the kitchen table." "I thought you packed it, brother," Dad grumbled. Why should it be my job to pack the map? Mom cried. Break it up, you two, I interrupted. Once they start fighting, they never stop. It's always best to interrupt them quickly before they really get into it. Wow, the families are usually really nice in Goosebump books, and we've already established infidelity and the parents fighting and the abusive tendencies of the brother kind of acting out like a kid from a broken... This is interesting. I'm the Mad Pincher, Luke cried. He let out a gruesome horror movie laugh and started pinching Clay's ribs and arms. I hate Luke's Mad Pincher routine more than anything. I was so glad that Clay was sitting in the middle next to Luke, and not me. Usually, the only way to stop Luke's pinching is to slug him. Clay started squirming and laughing. He thinks everything Luke does is a riot. He laughs at all my brother's stupid jokes and stunts. I think that's why Luke likes Clay so much. The two of them began pinching each other. Then Luke shoved Clay into me. Give me a break, I cried. I shoved Clay back. I know I shouldn't have, but it was getting hot in the car. We've been driving for hours, and what was I supposed to do?
Lizzie, boys, chill out back there,
Dad cried. Dad, nobody says chill out anymore, I told him calmly and quietly. For some reason, that made him go berserk. He started yelling and his face got bright red. I knew he wasn't mad at me. He was mad because he couldn't find Zoo Gardens theme park. Everybody just take a deep breath and be silent, Mom suggested. Ow, stop pinching me, Clay screamed. He gave Luke a hard shove. You stop pinching me, my brother shrieked, shoving him back. Boys can be animals. Hey, look, a sign up ahead. Mom pointed as a large green sign came into view. Luke and Clay stopped fighting. Dad leaned forward over the steering wheel, squinting through the windshield. Does it say where the park is? Luke demanded. Does it say where we are? Clay asked. The words on the sign came into view as we drove past it. It said, sign for rent. Good stuff, RL. We all let out disappointed groans. The Mad Pincher returns, Luke cried. He gave Clay a hard pinch on the arm. Luke never knows when to quit.
This road isn't going anywhere, brother, Dad said, scowling. I'll have to turn around and get back on the highway if I can find it, brothers.
I think you should ask someone for directions, Mom suggested.
Ask someone, brother. Ask someone, brother, Dad exploded. Do you see anyone I can ask, jabroni?
His face was bright and red. He drove with one hand so he could use the other to shake a fist. I meant if you could see a gas station, Mom murmured.
A gas station, brother,
Dad screamed. I don't even see a tree. Dad was right. I stared out the window and saw nothing but white sand on both sides of the road. The sun beamed down on it, making it gleam. The sand was so bright, it nearly looked like snow. I meant to go north,
Dad muttered. The desert is south. We must have gone south.
You'd better turn around, Mom urged. Are we lost? Clay asked. I could hear some fear in his voice. Clay isn't the bravest kid in the world. In fact, he's pretty easy to scare. Once I crept up behind him in our backyard at night and whispered his name, and he almost shit his pants right out of his shoes.
I need to stop changing things before I read ahead.
Dad, are we lost? Luke repeated the question.
Yeah, we're lost, brother, Dad replied quietly. Hopelessly lost. Do you smell what Dad is cooking?
Sorry. Clay let out a soft cry and slumped on the seat. He looked a little like a balloon deflating. Don't tell him that, Mom cried sharply.
What should I tell him? Dad snapped back. We're nowhere near Zoo Gardens. We're nowhere near civilization. We're in the desert, going nowhere.
Just turn around. I'm sure we'll find someone we can ask, Mom said softly. And stop being so dramatic.
We're all gonna die in the desert, Luke said with a gruesome grin on his face, and buzzards will peck out our eyeballs and eat our flesh.
My brother has a great sense of humor, doesn't he? You can't imagine what it's like having to live with a total ghoul.
Luke, stop scaring Clay, Mom said, turning in her seat to glare at Luke.
I'm not scared, Clay insisted, but he looked scared.
His round face was kind of pale and his eyes were blinking a lot behind his glasses, with his short, feathery blonde hair and round glasses. Clay looked a lot like a frightened owl.
Muttering to himself, Dad slowed the car to a stop. Then he turned it around and we headed back in the direction we came.
Great vacation, brother, he said through clenched teeth.
It's still early, Mom told him, checking her watch. The late morning sun was nearly straight overhead. I could feel its warmth on my face through the open sunroof. We drove for nearly half an hour. Clay wanted to play 20 questions or geography with Clay.
Luke wanted to do that with Clay,
but Clay moodily said no. He just stared out the window, watching the desert roll by. Every few minutes he'd ask, are we still lost?
Pretty lost, brother, my dad would reply unhappily.
We're okay, Mom kept reassuring us. As we drove, the scraggly trees reappeared. Then, after a while, the sand gave way to darker fields, dotted with trees and low shrubs. I sat silently, my hands clasped on my lap, staring out the window. I wasn't really scared or worried, but I wish we could have at least seen a gas station or a store or one other human being.
I'm getting hungry, Luke griped. Is it lunchtime?
With a long sigh that sounded like air escaping from a tire, Dad pulled the car to the side of the road.
Oh, brother.
He reached across Mom to the glove compartment.
There's got to be some kind of map in here, brother, he said.
No, I already looked, Mom told him.
As they started to argue, I raised my eyes to the open sunroof above my head.
Heyo, Matt Cernacker of Comics Online. You are now on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
Dune Reads Goosebumps. I love Dune Reads Goosebumps.
Yeah, you do.
Dune Reads Goosebumps, I have movie passes for you. So, I wanted to see if you want them.
Oh, no, no, no. Thank you, but I don't want to see a movie with a bunch of girls with bows and arrows.
It's a different movie.
No, what movie?
Hannah. It's an action thriller. A 16-year-old girl is trained to be an assassin, and there's espionage and shit.
There's incest with a 15-year-old girl?
No. She's trained to be an assassin.
Oh, when is this?
It's called Hannah.
No, when is it?
Tomorrow night, Fashion Valley.
Oh, thank you, but no thank you.
Okay, go back to reading Goosebumps.
All right, you want to say anything to the literally millions of Dune Reads Goosebumps listeners?
Dune Reads Goosebumps is the best reading of Goosebumps ever. Okay, bye.
All right, you heard it here first. All right.
Ow! I let out a cry as I saw a hideous monster staring down at me, lowering its enormous head, about to crush the car!
Chapter 2.
I opened my mouth to scream, but no sound came out. The monster glared down at me through the sunroof. It was as tall as the building, I realized. Its red eyes glowed with evil. Its mouth was twisted in a hungry grin.
Dad! I managed to stammer. Dad was bent over, fumbling through the papers in the glove compartment.
Wow! I heard Luke cry. I turned and saw that Luke was staring up at it, too, his blue eyes wide with fright.
Dad? Mom? My heart was pounding so hard, I thought my chest might explode.
Lizzie, what is it? Mom asked impatiently. The monster lowers its head over us, its mouth wide open, ready to swallow the whole fucking car. And then Luke started to laugh. Whoa, cool, he cried. And I realized I sounded like Will Wheaton there. God.
I wish I sounded like Will Wheaton.
And I realized at the same time that the monster wasn't alive. It was a mechanical figure, part of a giant billboard display. Ducking my head to get a better view through the window, I saw that Dad had pulled the car up right beside the billboard. My parents were so busy arguing about maps, they hadn't even noticed it.
If you don't notice a giant billboard with a monster, you are in no condition to drive.
Speaking of no condition to drive.
I stared up at the red-eyed monster. It lowered its head and opened its jaws. Then, the jaws snapped shut and the enormous head slid back up.
"It looks so real," Clay exclaimed, staring up at it.
"Didn't fool me," I lied. I wasn't going to admit that I nearly leaped out through the sunroof.
I'm supposed to be the calm one, after all. I rolled down the window and stuck my head out to read the billboard in front of the mechanical monster. In huge red letters, it said,
"Welcome to Horrorland, where nightmares come to life."
There was a dark red arrow in the upper left-hand corner with the words,
1 mile.
"Can we go there?" Luke demanded eagerly.
He leaned forward and grabbed the back of Dad's seat with both hands.
"Can we, Dad? How about it?"
"It looks kind of scary,"
Clay said softly like a bitch. Dad slammed the glove compartment shut with a sigh. He was giving up on the map idea.
"Luke, stop pulling my seat, brother," he snapped. "Sit back, brother."
"Can we go to Horrorland?"
Luke demanded. "Horrorland? What the fuck is Horrorland? Your father went to Horrorland one time and I've shut the doors to my..."
Never mind.
"Never heard of it, brother," Dad muttered.
That is some classy audio recording without editing that out.
"It's only a mile from here," Luke pleaded. "It looks great."
The monster lowered its head over the car, staring in through the sunroof. Then it raised its head again.
"I don't think so," Mom said, staring out
at the huge billboard. "Zoo Gardens is such a wonderful park.
Horrorland doesn't look very nice."
"It looks great," Luke insisted, pulling at Dad's seat
back again.
Herp, derp, 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 derp.
"It looks really excellent.
Luke, sit back, brother," Dad pleaded.
"Let's go," I urged. "We're never gonna find Zoo Gardens."
Mom hesitated, chewing her lower lip.
"I don't know," she said fretfully.
"Some of these places aren't safe."
"It'll be fun," Luke declared. "It'll be very safe."
"Luke, sit back," Dad growled, finally giving up, saying, "Brother."
"Can we go?" Luke demanded, ignoring Dad's request. "Can we?"
"It could be fun," Clay said quietly.
"Let's give it a try," I urged them. "If we hate it, we can always leave."
Dad rubbed one of his many, many morbidly obese, greasy chins. He sighed.
"Well, I guess it could be better than sitting here in the middle of nowhere arguing all day."
"Yay!" Luke screamed.
Luke and I reached over Clay to slap each other a high five.
Horrorland sounded like a pretty cool place to me, too. I love scary rides.
"If the rides are as scary as that monster," I said, pointing to the billboard, "this park will be awesome."
"You don't think it's too scary, do you?" Clay asked. I saw that he had his hands clasped tightly in his lap, and he had that frightening owl look on his face again.
"No, it won't be too scary," I told him.
Oh, wow. Was I wrong?
"I can't believe someone would build a big theme park out in the wilderness," Dad declared.
We were driving through what seemed like an endless forest. Tall and old trees leaned over the two-lane road, nearly blocking out the late morning sun, just like the beginning of Spirited Away by Hayao Miyazaki.
"Maybe they haven't built the park yet," Mom suggested.
"Maybe they're going to clear out these trees and build the park here," she said completely stupidly.
All three of us in the back seat were hoping Mom was wrong. She usually is, and she was. The road curved sharply, and as we came out of the curve, we saw the tall gates to the park straight up ahead. Behind a tall purple fence, Horrorland seemed to stretch for miles. Leaning forward in my seat, I could see the tops of the rides and strange, colorful buildings. As we drove across the enormous parking lot, eerie chords of organ music invaded the car.
"Yay! Again! This looks great!" Luke exclaimed.
Clay and I enthusiastically agreed. I couldn't wait to get out of the car and see everything.
"The parking lot is nearly empty."
"The parking lot is nearly empty,"
Dad said, glancing uneasily at Mom.
"That means we won't have to wait in long lines," I quickly exclaimed.
I think Lizzie is excited about this place, Mom commented, smiling. Oh, Moms.
Me too, Luke cried. He punched Clay enthusiastically in the shoulder. Poor Clay.
Luke always has to be punching or pinching somebody. We crossed the wide parking lot. I saw a few cars parked there and parked near the front gate. At the far side of the lot stood a row of purple and green buses with the word Horrorland across the side. As we rode closer, I got a good look at the front gate. The same monster we had seen behind the billboard rose up behind a big purple and green sign over the gate. That's what the front of the book looked like. I wish I wasn't colorblind. The sign read, "The Horrorland Horrors welcome you to Horrorland." I don't get that sign, Mom said. What are the Horrorland Horrors?
We'll find out, I exclaimed happily.
The solemn, eerie organ music floated heavily over the parking lot. Dad pulled into a space in an empty aisle to the right of the front gate. Luke and I pushed open the back doors before the car had even stopped.
Let's go,
I cried. Luke, Clay, and I started trotting toward the gate. As I ran, I stared up at the green monster over the sign. This one didn't move its head like the billboard monster, but it looked very real. I glanced back and saw that Mom and Dad were hurrying to catch up with us.
This is going to be way cool, I exclaimed. And then I gasped as a deafening explosion made the ground shake. And I stared back in horror as our car burst apart, exploding into a million pieces.
Chapter 3.
It took me a while to stop screaming. Finally, I swallowed hard, choking back my cries. We all stared in shock. Small chunks of twisted metal and a few burning cinders were all that were left of our car.
How?
Was all Dad managed to say.
I don't believe it. Check it out, though.
Napster hit single references.
Thank goodness we're all out of that car, Mom cried.
She gathered us up in a big hood. Thank goodness we're all okay. Luke and Clay still hadn't uttered a sound. They stood wide-eyed, staring at the spot where the car had stood.
My car! Dad choked out in a horrified whisper. My car! How? How?
We're safe, Mom murmured. We're all safe. What a terrifying explosion. I can't get the sound out of my ears.
I've got to call the police, Dad sputtered.
He began trotting to the gate, shaking his head, muttering to himself.
How could the car just blow up like that, dear?
Mom asked, hurrying after him. What would make that happen?
How should I know? Dad snapped angrily. I don't get it. I don't. And now, what are we gonna do?
He sounded really panicked. I don't blame him. That explosion was fucking scary. And when I realized we could have all been inside of the car when it went off, I had cold chills down my back.
Maybe there's a rental car place we can call, Mom suggested.
Mom is like me, calm in any emergency. We followed Dad as we went running up to the ticket booth at the entrance. A green monster stood in the booth. He had bulging yellow eyes and dark horns curled over his head. It was a great, great costume. I did some air quotes there, you know, for everyone that's not the cat that can't see me.
Welcome to Horrorland,
he said in a gruff, low voice. A loud stab of organ music rose up from inside the ticket booth.
I am a Horrorland whore, all of the horrors, and I hope you have a scary day.
My car, Dad cried frantically. There was an explosion. I need a phone.
I'm sorry, sir, no phones,
the guy in the monster costume replied.
Huh?
Dad's face was bright and red again. His forehead was drenched with sweat.
But I need a phone, right away,
Dad insisted, glaring angrily at the green monster.
My car exploded, we're all stuck.
Oh, we'll take care of you, the horror replied, lowering his gruff voice to nearly a whisper.
You what?
Dad cried.
We need a car. I need to get to a phone. Don't you understand?
No phones, the monster repeated. But please, sir, allow us to take care of you. I promise we will take care of everything. Don't let this spoil your visit to Horrorland.
Spoil my visit? Dad shrieked, his face growing even redder. But my car!
Another loud stab of organ music made me jump. The creepy music made me feel as if I were actually in a horror movie.
We will take care of you, I promise, the horror said.
A strange smile crossed his face. His yellow eyes lit up.
Please enjoy your stay, and do not worry about transportation. The other horrors and I will see that you are properly taken care of, he said with a monster-like stutter that Dune added for effect because he's so fucking good at reading Goosebumps.
But...
Dad sputtered. The horror gestured toward... They did not mean for this to be read out loud, and if they did, they meant it to be read by a sober person, because I'm just going to start saying horror, like, you know. Like a prostitute, that's what I'm getting at.
The horror gestured toward the park. Please enter as our guest. Free admission, I apologize for your car, but please don't worry. I promise you will have no need to worry about your car.
Dad turned back to us, sweat dripping down his forehead. I could see that he was really upset.
I can't enjoy an amusement park now, he said.
I can't believe this is happening.
I can't. I really, really can't. We've got to get a car in somehow and...
Oh, please, Dad, Luke cried. Please, can't we go inside? He said he'll take care of it for us. Just for a little while, I joined my brother in pleading. We've had such a long drive, Mom said to Dad. Let's just go in for a short while, let them blow off some steam. Dad thought about it, frowning hard.
Okay, just for a little while, he agreed, finally.
The organ music grew louder as we stepped through the gate.
Wow, look at this place, I cried. It really is like being in a horror movie.
We were standing on a brown, cobbled street, strange, dark cottages tilted up on both sides of the street. Tall trees along the street nearly blocked out all of the sunlight. The air carried a chill. Low howls, like wolf howls, floated from the cottages.
Cool, Luke declared.
A sign proclaimed,
Welcome to Werewolf Village. Do not feed the werewolves, if you can help it.
The frightening howls grew louder. Luke and I laughed at the sign. I saw a green monster, one of the horrors, staring out at us through a dark window in the cottage across the narrow street. Another horror walked past, carrying a very real-looking human head. He grasped it by its long blonde hair and bounced it up and down, sort of like a yo-yo as he walked.
Cool, Luke proclaimed again. It seemed to be his word of the day.
We walked along the cobbled street. The sound of the thudding sneakers echoed off cottage walls.
Oh, we all let out cries of surprise as a long, low, gray wolf ran in front of us. It disappeared around the side of a cottage before we got a good look at it.
Was that a real wolf? Clay asked, his voice sounding exactly like Dune's.
Of course not, I told him. It was probably a dog, or else it was mechanical.
Well, they certainly keep this park clean, Mom said, trying to sound cheerful. There isn't a piece of trash or dirt anywhere.
Of course, it isn't very crowded.
Dad lingered behind.
I've got to find a phone, he said fretfully. I can't enjoy this until I know we've got to get we have a way home.
But, dear, Mom started.
There's got to be a phone somewhere, Dad interrupted. Go on without me.
No, I'll come with you, Mom said. You're in such a frantic state. You'll need me to make calls for you. The kids will have a better time without us hanging around anyway.
Leave them, Dad cried. You mean, let them go on their own?
Of course, Mom said, hurrying back to him. They'll be perfectly fine. This looks like a very nice place. What could happen? What could happen? With those words, Mom and Dad rushed off to find a phone. Meet back here, Mom called to us, without giving a time or anything. What horrible parenting. Luke, Clay, and I were suddenly on our own. I turned to watch Mom and Dad hurry away. I turned back in time to see a gray wolf edging out from behind the cottage. It lowered its head and let out a rumbling, warning growl. All three of us froze as we realized its hungry red eyes were locked on us. Chapter 4! I cried out and pulled Luke and Clay back. The wolf slithered out, holding its head low, glaring up at us with wide red eyes, its mouth open hungrily. It's real! Clay declared, swallowing hard. I had my hand on his shoulder. I could feel him trembling. The wolf let out a low growl. Then it slid back behind the cottage wall. I think it's some sort of robot or something, I told Clay. Let's go somewhere else, Clay replied, suddenly very pale. What does that sign there say? Luke asked. He went running over the dark cobblestone to the sign, and Clay and I followed. The sign read, "No pinching." Luke laughed. That's stupid. What a dumb sign, Clay agreed. That sign was meant just for you, Luke, I exclaimed. I gave him a hard pinch on the arm. Hey, can't you read? He shouted angrily, pointing to the sign. I saw a green horror watching us from down the street. Then I saw a family making its way behind the row of cottages. There was a mother, a father, and a little girl. The little girl was crying for some reason. The parents had their hands on their shoulders and looked very upset. A wolf howl cut through the air. Let's find some rides, Clay suggested. Some scary rides, Luke added. Walking side by side, keeping close together, we made our way out of the werewolf village. The street widened into a round plaza. Bright sunlight returned as soon as we stepped out of the village. Several purple and green buildings surrounded the plaza. I saw a few more families and several green-costumed horrors keeping an eye on everything. A pudgy whore behind a purple and green cart was selling ice cream cones. Black ice cream! Yuck! Luke declared like a racist, making a face. We hurried past the cart, past another no pinching sign, and stopped in front of what appeared to be a tall purple mountain. It's a ride, I told them. A doorway was in the side of the mountain, and above the doorway was a sign, Doom Slide. Will you be the one to slide forever? Cool, Luke cried, and slapping Clay a high five. I'll bet you climb to the top and then slide all the way down, I said, pointing to the top of the mountain-shaped building. Let's go, Luke cried excitedly. We ran to the building, then through the open doorway in its side. It was dark and cold inside. A wide ramp curved up to the top. I could hear kids squealing and laughing. But I couldn't see them. The three of us half walked, half ran up the ramp, eager to get to the top. About halfway up, we stopped to read another sign. Warning, you may be the one to slide to your doom. Now, I could hear kids screaming as they slid down, but it was too dark to see anything. Are you scared, Clay? Clay, baby, you little baby, I asked, noticing his tight expression. No way, he insisted, embarrassed by my question. I've seen these things before. They're really just huge sliding boards. You just sit on them and slide down. Hurry, Luke shouted, running ahead of us. Hey, wait up, I called. I followed them to the front, or to the top of the ramp. We found ourselves on a wide platform. A row of long, curving sliding boards stretched to the end of the platform. The sliding boards were numbered from 1 to 10. In the dim light, I saw two horrors watching us approach. They stood in the front of the sliding boards, their bulging yellow eyes lit up as we hurried over to them. Do you slide all the way down? Luke asked one of them. The horror nodded. Do you go really fast? Clay asked, lingering a few feet behind us. The horror nodded. Again.
It's a long way down, he rumbled. Be careful which slide you pick, the other whore warned. Don't pick the doom slide.
He gestured to the number painted in black in front of each slide.
Yes, don't pick the doom slide, his partner repeated. You'll slide down forever and ever and ever and ever
and ever.
I laughed. He was just trying to scare us.
Wasn't he?
Chapter 5. Get live. I chose slide number 3 because 3 is my lucky number. Luke sat down on top of the slide next to mine, slide number 2. And Clay scrambled over to the far end and dropped down into slide number 10. I glanced back to see what the horrors were doing. But before I could focus on them, I felt the bottom tilt beneath me. I let out a long, high-pitched shriek as I began to slide. Slide, slide, slippity slide, living in the city is do or die. I raised my arms over my head, leaning back, and screamed all the way down. My cries echoed in the enormous dark canyon of the Doom Slide Building. It felt great. The slide curved and curved, and I swirled down in the darkness faster and faster. In the shadowy light, I could see Luke in the slide next to mine. He was laying on his back, staring straight up with his mouth wide open. I tried to call out to him, but the slide curved away, and I curved with it down. Down. I was sliding so fast, the darkness became a solid blur. The slide curved up, then around, then down again. I'm a human roller coaster, I thought happily. Down, down, darker and darker. I'm sliding faster than the speed of light, I thought.
That's probably not even possible, because you'll reach terminal velocity going on the slide, and it's not even anywhere near the speed of light.
I glanced back from one side to the other, trying to see Luke and Clay, but it was too dark. I was moving too fast. Too fast! And then, bump. A shoe opened up and I hit the ground, hard, landing on the seat of my jeans. Outside, I was back outside. Bump! Luke bounced out beside me. He hit the ground, still laying on his back, and made no attempt to get up. He grinned at me. Where am I? Back on the ground, I told him, climbing to my feet. I brushed off the back of my jeans, then reached behind my head to straighten my braid. Great ride, huh? Let's go again, Luke said, still lying there. We can't do it again if you're not going... fucking Christ. We can't go again if you don't get up, I said. Help me! He reached up a hand. I groaned as I tugged him to a sitting position. Get up yourself, I said impatiently. You were screaming in there, he told me. I did it on purpose, I said. I wanted to scream. Yeah, sure, he rolled his eyes. Then he pulled himself to his feet. Wow, I'm a little dizzy. How fast do you think we are going? I shrugged. Pretty fast, I think. It's so dark in there, it's hard to know how fast you're going. And then I realized we were missing a member of our sliding party. I stared at the closed chutes on the wall of the building. Hey, where's Clay? What do you say? Where's Clay? Huh? Luke had forgotten all about him, too. We both stared at the side of the building, waiting for Clay to pop out. Where is he? Luke demanded shrilly. He couldn't be that much slower than us, could he? I shook my head. I was starting to feel really nervous. I had a heavy feeling in the pit of my stomach, and my hands were suddenly cold and clammy. Come on, Clay, I pleaded, staring at the wall. Come on out. Luke scratched his black hair. Where'd he go? He asked. Why didn't Clay come out? Maybe he came out the front, I said. Maybe slide number 10 dumps you out front. Let's check it out. Check it out. As we ran around the building toward the front, I scolded myself for getting scared so easily. Of course Clay came out in a different chute. He's probably waiting for us in front of the building. He was probably as worried as us. About, that. As we rounded the purple building, the wide circular plaza came into view. I searched for Mom and Dad, but they weren't there. I saw a couple of other families on the other side of the circle, and the pudgy green horror leaning on his ice cream cart. No sign of Clay. Luke and I kept running up to the front entrance of the Doom Slide. We stopped a few feet from the dark opening. He isn't here, Luke cried, struggling to catch his breath. I was breathing hard, too, and the heavy feeling of dread in my stomach grew even heavier. No Clay, I muttered. What are we gonna do? Luke asked. His blue eyes were wide with fear. I saw a green horror woman standing just inside the entrance. God, I'm immature. Hey, I called as I ran over to her. Did you see a kid come out over there? I asked breathlessly. The yellow eyes of the horror's mask bulged and appeared to light up.
No, this is the entrance. No one comes out here, she replied.
He's blonde and sort of chubby. He's a little husky, okay? To be honest, he's husky. He wears glasses, I told her. He's wearing a blue t-shirt. It says, number one dinosaur fan, creationism museum, and denim shorts. The horror shook her head.
No, no one comes out this way. Did you check the back? Everyone comes out the back.
He didn't, Luke said shrilly.
We were there. He didn't come out.
My brother's voice came out high and squeaky. He was breathing so hard. His chest was heaving up and down. He was in a panic. I was frightened too, but I knew I had to stay calm for Luke's sake. He didn't come out the back, I told the whore. And he didn't come out the front. So what happened to him? The whore was silent for a long moment. Then she said in a low voice, just above a whisper, maybe your friend chose the doom slide.
I'm seriously going to open up a dune slide.
And you guys can all take a ride. Chapter 6. I stared at the woman in the horror costume.
You're joking, right? I stammered. I mean, the doom slide. That's just a joke.
She stared back at me with her bulging yellow eyes and didn't reply.
The signs give a warning, she said. There's always a warning.
She turned and disappeared into the dark entrance. Luke and I goggled at each other.
Is that a verb?
I swallowed hard. My throat suddenly felt dry. My hands were cold as ice, and they were willing to sacrifice. Now, this is stupid, Luke muttered. He jammed his hands into his jeans pockets. It's just a dumb slide. Why is she trying to scare us?
I guess that's her job, I told him.
We've got to find Mom and Dad, Luke muttered. We've got to find Clay first, I told him. If Mom and Dad find out we lost Clay, they'll get angry and make us go home as soon as we find him.
If we find him, Luke said glumly.
I glanced back across the plaza. No Mom and Dad. Two teenagers were buying black ice cream cones from the horror at the cart. Two horrors were sweeping the plaza with push brooms, working side by side.
I made it through the first of those two horrors without giggling, then the second one, you know, whatever.
Far in the distance, I could hear the howl of a wolf from Werewolf Village. The sun was high in the sky now. I could feel it beaming down on the top of my head and on my shoulders, but I still felt cold all over. Clay, where are you? I asked, thinking out loud. He's sliding forever, Luke said, shaking his head. Sliding forever and ever on the doom slide.
That's dumb, I replied.
But Luke had given me an idea. Come on, I said, tugging the sleeve of his t-shirt. I started pulling him to the dark entrance. Huh? Where? Luke pulled back. We'll go on the slides again, I told him. His mouth dropped open in protest. Without Clay? We can't go again without Clay. We're going to find Clay, I said, grabbing his arm this time and pulling him up to the dark, open doorway. You mean... My brother was starting to catch on. Yes! We'll follow him. We'll take the same slide he took. Slide number 10, Luke murmured, and then he added in a solemn whisper, the doom slide. Well, we'll take it, and it will lead us right to him, I said. We climbed the ramp in silence. The rapid thud of our sneakers echoed in the vast, hollow mountain. We ran past a sign about halfway up to the top. I read it as we passed by. Warning, you may be the one to slide to your doom. Clay, are you still sliding? I wondered. I shook my head, shaking away the thought. Of course he wasn't still sliding. What a stupid idea. God, I'm so stupid. The two horrors were still standing at the top of the slides.
Be careful which slide you pick, one of them warned.
We know which one we want, I said breathlessly. Slide number 10, both of us together. The horrors nearest the slide motioned for us to sit down. I glanced at Luke, who stood right behind me, his features tight with fear. He tugged me back a few steps.
Maybe we shouldn't, he whispered.
Why not? I demanded impatiently.
What if the warning is true? Luke demanded. Don't be dumb, I scolded him. This is an amusement park, remember? They don't kill kids or send them sliding to their doom. It's all for fun. Luke swallowed hard.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure, I replied. Now, do you want to find Clay or not? Luke nodded. Then let's go, I ordered.
Wow, what a bitch.
I sat down at the top of slide number 10. Luke plopped down right behind me. I stretched his legs outside of mine. I felt the floor tilt up beneath us. We started to slide. Clay, here we come! I cried.
Heyo! Time has passed!
That was my Corolla-style Huell Hauser. Anyway, or Dana Gould, I should say. Anyway, back same day, just gave it a little rest to get my voice back, and now I'm drinking a Sierra Nevada Torpedo Extra IPA that Alex left here. That's why I have any beer that's even remotely respectable. Anyway,
Chapter 7!
Ah, fuck, I ruined my Huell Hauser.
I didn't scream this time. I clasped my hands in my lap and gritted my teeth. There was no way I was going to enjoy this ride. I just wanted to get to the end of it. I wanted to solve the mystery and find Clay. As we slid down together, Luke grabbed onto me. His hands gripped my waist. He cried when we slid over a big bump, and it felt as if we were going to fly off the slide. Then we both screamed as the slide took a steep dive, almost straight down, and we started to fall.
If I didn't do it the last episode, this is where I'd make my Bill and Ted's bogus journey stuff, but this one's too stationed for that.
We landed hard, and then the slide curved sharply to the right. We were both screaming our lungs out now. We were sliding faster and faster in total darkness, blacker than black. I tried to see if we were moving alongside the other slides, but it was so dark I couldn't even see my sneakers in front of me. Luke squeezed my waist so hard I could barely breathe. I tried to tell him to loosen his grip, but he was screaming too loud to hear. Down, down, darker and darker. We hit another bump that sent us bouncing up into the air. Then the slide dipped and curved sharply to the left. We should be at the bottom by now, I realized. We've been sliding a very long time. I gritted my teeth harder and tried to brace myself to go flying out the chute and bump onto the ground. But no chute opened. The ride didn't end. We began to slide faster. I gasped in mouthfuls of hot, damp air, struggling to catch my breath. The slide dipped and curved, sending us down into the thick, heavy blackness. We're gonna slide forever! The warning signs didn't lie. I struggled to force those frightening thoughts from my mind. Luke suddenly got very quiet. Are you okay? I called back to him.
I don't know, he replied, holding on even tighter. Why are we sliding so long?
You're hurting me, I cried. He loosened his hold a little.
I don't like this,
he shouted in my ear. We hit another bump. His hands flew off me. Another bump, even harder. I thought I was going to fly off the slide and fall to the bottom, like at the beginning of Rainbow Road, if you jump to the left and press the R button. If there was a bottom, down, down. Luke and I both cried out in disgust as something sticky covered our faces. Ow, ski, 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 motherfucker! I reached up with both hands and tried to pull it off. Yuck! Luke screamed, what is it, my face? It's like cobwebs, I shouted back at him. Hot, sticky ropes of cobwebs. My whole face itched. The sticky threads covered my face like bukkake. I pulled frantically at them. Ah! I cried out as the slide took another sharp dip. Tearing at the sticky cobwebs, I managed to pull them off me. But my face still itched like crazy. It felt as if 1,000 ants were crawling around on it. It's so gross! Luke yelled behind me. My face, it hurts! My beard! Hordes! Down, down into the heavy darkness, and then a flare of bright light made my eyes shut. Was it daylight? No. Were we heading outside? No. I forced my eyes open and squinted at the yellow light. I realized I was staring at blazing flames. The slide ahead of us was on fire. The yellow and orange flames raged up, topped by a curtain of billowing black smoke. I raised my hands to my face and started to shriek. We were sliding into the blazing flames.
We're gonna burn up, Luke screamed. Help!
Help! Somebody help us!
Chapter 8.
I shut my eyes and felt a powerful burst of heat, almost like a fart of Thor. I'm burning up, I thought, burning up! A whoosh of cool air made my eyes open. The fire was behind us now. We had sailed right through it. Curving gently, we slid through cool darkness. I could still see the orange flicker of flames reflecting on the dark walls above us. Luke and I were both silent. I was waiting for my heart to stop thudding in my chest. "Great special effects!" Luke cried. He let out a wild laugh, a frantic laugh I'd never heard before. The fire was fake, I realized, some kind of projection or something. I sucked in mouthfuls of cool air. I had never been so terrified in my life. When did this ride end? Or when does this ride end? Luke cried. His voice had become high and frightened. Never, I thought glumly. We are really going to slide forever. And as that thought, frightening thought lingered in my mind, a chute opened in front of us. Daylight streamed in. Bump. I landed hard on soft grass. A few seconds later, Luke dropped out behind me. I blinked several times, waiting for my eyes to adjust to the bright sunlight. Then I climbed slowly to my feet, my heart still pounding. A yellow and green sign on a wooden pole stood directly in front of us. It read, "Welcome to Doom. Population 0 humans." Standing next to the sign was Clay. He came rushing over to greet us, a happy smile on his round pink face.
"Hey guys! Hey you guys!" he called.
"Where have you been?" He slapped Luke a high five, then Luke gave him a playful punch in the stomach.
"Where have we been?" I asked. "Where the fuck have you been?"
"Right here,"
Clay replied. "I didn't know where I was. I think this is the other side of the park or something, so I just waited for you. I just, you know, hung around and yelled Game Master."
We went back on the Doom slide," Luke explained. "We took your slide, number 10. What a ride! It was so cool!"
A few seconds ago, Luke had been shrieking in real terror. Now he was pretending he loved it, telling Clay how cool it was.
"You picked the good slide," Luke told Clay. "Wow, it was excellent! Wild Stallions!"
"I was kind of scared," Clay confessed. "I mean, the fire. Great special effects," my brother exclaimed.
"This park is awesome!" Luke was such a phony. There was no way he would ever admit that he had been worried about Clay, and no way he'd admit that the long slide of to doom had terrified him. But I was glad to see his old enthusiasm return. I really didn't like seeing my brother frightened and in panic.
"It was kind of a long slide," Clay said, frowning. His feathery blonde hair glowed in the bright sunlight. "A little too long, I think."
"I'd like to go on it again," Luke boasted.
I turned and gazed around. We were definitely in another section of Horrorland. Nothing looked familiar. Across the wide walkway, I saw several kids in bathing suits heading down to a sandy path. A sign over the path read, "Horror Rapids." To our right, a square-shaped building made of glass reflected the bright sunlight. The glass walls shimmered brightly as if on fire. Squinting into the light, I could just barely make out the sign in front of it. House of Mirrors.
"Let's try the House of Mirrors."
Oh, God, I'm going to put in so many ICP references. I'm really holding back on this. But goddamn, this is just... Whoop, whoop. Sorry. Luke urged. "Shut up, I know how magnets work. There's unpaired electrons, and then they start to blow in a different direction because they don't have an opposing force, and then they all flow in the same direction and attract things, right? Because the pull, is it?"
Whoop, whoop!
Pulling Clay by the arm.
"Whoa, wait a minute," I cried. "Don't you think we should try to find Mom and Dad? They're way over on the other side of the park," Luke replied, tugging Clay along with him across the pavement. "Let's cause some fun and then find them.
They're probably looking for us," I said fretfully like a little bitch.
"The park isn't very crowded. They'll find us," Luke replied. "Come on, Lizzie. It looks like fun."
I hesitated, thinking about Mom and Dad. I stared into the white glare of the glass building. Suddenly, I felt someone tap my shoulder. Startled, I cried out and spun around. It was a green costumed horror. His bulging eyes stared into mine as he leaned close to me.
"Get away while you can,"
he whispered. He turned his eyes quickly from side to side, as if making sure no one was watching him. Please, I'm serious. Get away while you can.
Chapter 9.
I was so stunned I didn't say anything. I watched him run off, moving awkwardly in the bulky horror costume, his purple tail dragging over the pavement behind him.
What did he want? Clay called. He and Luke were nearly up to the House of Mirrors entrance.
He said we should get out while we can. I stammered, running over to them. I lost them for a moment in the blinding sunlight reflecting off the glass building.
Luke laughed. These horror guys are fucking great, he declared.
They're really trying to scare you in this place. Behind his glasses, Clay's eyes narrowed thoughtfully.
He was kidding, right? He asked quietly. I mean, it was a joke, wasn't it?
I don't know, I told him. I guess so. I watched the horror disappear quickly behind a tall blue pyramid-shaped building.
That's his job, Luke insisted. He goes around scaring people all day.
Maybe he was really warning us, Clay murmured. He's staring back at me. No way, Luke declared. He gave Clay a hard slap on the back. Stop looking so gloomy all the time. This is a great place. You like to be scared, don't you? Clay's expression remained worried.
I guess, he replied uncertainly.
I started to tell Clay I was sure it was just a joke, but Luke interrupted. Hurry up! Let's check the House of Mirrors. Let's have some fun before Mom and Dad show up and make us leave. Ugh, parents are the worst! They just don't understand! He dragged Clay toward the entrance, and I followed. We passed under another no-pinching sign as we made our way to the shimmering glass building. Outside the entrance, I stopped to read the yellow and green sign. It read, House of Mirrors. Reflect before you enter. No one may ever see you again.
Hey, wait up!
I called to the boys. They had already hurried inside. I stepped in and found myself in a narrow, dark tunnel. My eyes were still filled with the bright glare from outside. I couldn't see a thing.
Luke! Clay! Wait up!
I shouted. My voice echoed through the low tunnel.
Luke! Clay! Wait up!
I could hear them laughing up ahead. I jogged blindly, ducking my head because the ceiling was so low.
So low I can't hear you! In the ticky-ticky-ticky-ticky-ticky room.
Finally, my eyes adjusted to the darkness. The tunnel ended, and I found myself in a narrow corridor with mirrored walls and a mirrored ceiling.
Oh! I uttered a low cry. I could see my reflections, dozens of them. I had gained weight. I seemed to surround myself.
I stopped for a moment and adjusted my long black braid. It was always coming loose. Then I called again to the boys.
Where are you? Wait up!
I could hear them giggling somewhere up ahead.
Try and find us,
Luke called, more giggling. I made my way quickly through the mirrored walkway. The walls curved to the right, then to the left. My reflections followed me, stretching deep into the mirrors. Dozens and dozens of me, getting smaller and smaller, stretching to infinity.
Hey, don't get too far ahead, I cried.
I heard them giggling. Then I heard a rumble of footsteps that seemed to come from the other side of the mirrored wall. I followed the corridor, walking slowly, carefully, until I saw a narrow opening up ahead.
Wait right there. I'm coming through, I called.
I started through the opening and bonk,
hit my forehead on the solid glass. Owzers!
I cried out as the pain jolted across my forehead, then down the back of my neck, all the way to my spine. I'm pretty sure R.L. Stein does not know how pain works. I raised my hands to the glass and waited for my dizziness to fade away.
Lizzie, where are you? Try to find us, I heard Luke call.
I hit my head, I shouted, rubbing my forehead.
I could hear him and Clay laughing. Their voices seemed to be behind me now. I turned back, but there were only mirrors behind me. No opening. My head still ached a little, but the dizziness had gone away. I started walking again, more carefully this time. I kept both hands out in front of me so I wouldn't bump into anything. I turned a corner and stepped into a different room. To my surprise, the floor in this room was a mirror. The walls, the ceiling, the floor were all mirrors. It was as if I was standing in a mirror box. I took a few careful steps. It felt so weird walking on my own reflection. I could see the tops and the bottoms of my sneakers as I watched. It made it really hard to walk. I kept having the feeling that I was going to fall into myself.
It's pretty deep.
Hey guys, where are you? I called. No reply. I felt a sharp stab of fear in my stomach. Or maybe I had to go diarrhea.
Luke? Clay, are you there?
I saw the mouths of my reflections move as I called out dozens of mouths. Only one voice came out. My voice. Tiny and shrill.
Luke? Clay?
Silence.
Don't fool around, guys, I shouted. Where are you?
Silence. No reply. I stared at the dozens of reflections on all sides of me. They all looked very frightened.
Luke? Clay?
Where had they gone?
Chapter 10.
These are getting horrible. I stared at my reflections as horrifying thoughts swept over me. Had the boys really disappeared? Had they fallen into some kind of trap? Were they lost in the maze of glass and mirrors? Horrorland was too scary, I decided. It was fun to be scared, but it was hard to tell whether the scares here were for real or for fun. Were the dangers in this place, or was it all a big scary joke?
Luke! Clay!
I called to them in a trembling voice, turning all around, searching for an exit. Silence. Then I heard a muffled giggle. Then I heard whispering voices. Nearby. Another giggle. Louder this time.
Luke's giggle.
They had been playing a little joke on me.
Hey, you are not funny, I screamed angrily. Really not funny.
I could hear them burst out laughing.
Come and find us, Lizzie the Lesbian,
Luke called.
What's taking you so long, Clay added.
More giggling. It seemed to come from just up ahead, sliding my hands along the mirror. I followed the hallway around to the right. I had to duck my head to slip through a narrow opening between the mirrors. I found myself in another small room surrounded by mirrors above and below on all sides. The mirrors were tilted at strange angles, so my reflections appeared to bounce off each other as I moved.
Where are you? Am I getting closer?
I called. The light grew dim as I made my way through this room. My reflections darkened. The shadows grew longer.
We can't see you, Clay called.
Hurry up, Luke shouted impatiently.
I'm going as fast as I can, I screamed. Just don't move, okay? Just stay in one place.
We are, Luke called.
How will we be able to get out of here?
I heard Clay ask him in a low voice.
Ow!
I bumped my head again on a section of clear glass. I pounded my fist angrily on the glass. This wasn't any fun, I decided. It was too painful.
Hurry up, Luke called from somewhere nearby. It's boring waiting here for you.
I'm coming, I muttered, rubbing my poor, aching forehead. I turned a corner and stepped into a wide room. No mirrors here. The walls were all glass. I stopped to gaze around, and there was Luke.
Finally, he cried. Why couldn't you find us?
I kept hitting my head, I told him. Let's get out of here. Where's Clay?
Huh?
Luke's mouth dropped open in surprise. He spun around searching for his friend.
He was standing right here, he said.
Luke, I'm in no mood for any of your dumb jokes, I said sharply.
Clay, where are you hiding?
I'm not hiding. I'm over here, Clay called. I took a few steps closer to my brother, and Clay came into view. He was standing in deep shadows behind a glass wall, his hands pressed against the pane.
How'd you get over there? Luke asked Clay.
Clay shrugged.
I can't find the way out.
Clay, goddammit, why do you keep getting lost? You're ruining Goosebumps. I moved toward my brother, then stopped. I suddenly realized that he was behind a wall of glass. Luke and I were in different rooms.
Hey, where's the opening? I asked him.
Luke glanced around. What do you mean, Lizzie?
You and I were not in the same room, I replied.
I walked up to the glass wall and tapped on it with my fist, like under the dome.
Huh?
Luke's face filled with surprise. He made his way over to me. Then he tapped on his side of the glass, as if making sure it really did exist.
How do you get there? He murmured.
Clay started moving around his room, sliding his hands all along the panes of glass, searching for the opening.
Stand right there, I told Luke. I'll find a way into your room.
I followed Clay's example. I moved slowly around the room, keeping a hand pressed against the glass. The light was dim. My shadow fell over the glass as I walked. I could see my face reflecting darkly in the glass. My eyes stared back at me, dark and desperate. Before I realized it, I had made a complete circle. I was back where I had started, and there was no opening, no doorway, no way out.
Hey, I'm trapped in here,
Clay called shrilly.
So am I, I told him.
There's got to be an opening, Luke said. How did we get in?
You're right, I said fretfully. We should be able to get out the way we came in.
I began searching along the walls, moving quickly. My heart began to pound. I had a fluttering feeling in my chest. There had to be a way out. There just had to be. Luke pounded hard on the glass in the other room. I could see Clay jogging frantically around his room, pushing on the walls as he moved. I went all the way around twice, then stopped. There was no way out. I'm trapped, I stammered. It's like a box, a glass box. We're all trapped, Clay cried. Luke was still pounding frantically on the glass with his fists. Luke, stop, I cried shrilly. This isn't helping. He lowered his fist to his sides. This is ridiculous, he muttered. There's got to be a way out. Maybe there's a trap door or something, I suggested. I began to search the mirrored floor. It was too dark to see well. The floor appeared solid to me. I returned to the glass wall. This isn't much fun, I said glumly. Luke and Clay nodded. I could see they were both really frightened. So was I, but I decided I was 2 years older than them, so I had to try to be the brave one. I wasn't feeling very brave, though, uttering a worried sigh, I leaned against the wall that separated Luke and me. As I leaned, the wall started to move. Herp derp cop out. I jumped back with a sharp cry. The wall was sliding toward me, closing in on me. I took another step back, glancing around frantically. I saw that all the walls were sliding in. Oh my god, there's gonna be a, damn it. What's the trash compactor monster from Star Wars? Yeah, I'm talking to myself. Luke! Like in Star Wars, that's the guy from Luke Starshooter. And, Chambazga. And Hanstala? That... no? Luke! I cried. I turned to see him backing up to the walls, Clay called. Help me! They're sliding in on me too, Luke screamed. Each room must have its own glass walls. All three of us were trapped with a desperate groan. I threw myself against one of the walls and tried to push it back, but I couldn't stop. The box was closing in, growing smaller, smaller. We're going to be crushed, I cried. Damn it, I should have made the Army of Darkness reference. I haven't watched Army of Darkness in like 3 years. What the hell?
This is chapter 11.
Do something, please do something, Clay was screaming. Luke lowered his shoulder to the glass and struggled to stop it from moving, but he wasn't strong enough. The walls kept sliding in on him. I backed up, my hands raised like a shield, closer. Closer. The glass walls moved slowly. Silently, I backed up until my back hit the wall behind me. There was nowhere to go. Do something, somebody, do something! Clay's terrified screams ran through my ears. The glass, it's squeezing me. Luke shrieked, Lizzie, I can't move, I shouted to him. The panes of glass began to press in on me from all sides, above and below, too. I suddenly pictured one of those crushed cars. You know, the cars that are crushed in a perfect square in those big compactor machines. My entire body shuddered as I realized I was going to be crushed into a perfect square, too. Ow! I cried out as the glass pressed down on me. Somebody help! I tried to scream, but my voice came out a muffled yelp. It was getting hard to breathe. The glass panes moved in tighter. Tighter. I gasped for air. I tried to push with all my might against the glass, but it was no use. I was being crushed into a human square. Chapter 12. I couldn't hear Luke and Clay anymore. I could only hear my gasping, choked breaths. I shut my eyes. I felt the floor drop away. And before I realized what was happening, I was falling, falling rapidly down like in the previous chapters. I opened my eyes in time to see the glass walls rolling above me as I slid down, down, down through the open chute. In a few seconds, I was back outside. I landed sitting up on the grass with a gentle thud. Luke and Clay came
Kelly, you being here has made me stumble like four times and I'm blaming you.
Sorry, everyone.
Apologize louder.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Luke and Clay came sliding out beside me. For a long moment, we sat on the grass blinking in the bright sunlight, staring at each other in disbelief. We're okay, Clay said, uncertainly, finally breaking the silence. He slowly climbed to his feet. His round face was bright and red, and his glasses were crooked and nearly falling off of his stupid fucking nose. We're okay! I'm not okay! Luke let out a laugh, a gleeful laugh. He stood up and began jumping around and jumping up and down for joy, and he got up, get up to get down. Hey, I didn't exactly feel like jumping up and down. I was still picturing the crushed car. Luke reached down, grabbed both of my hands, and pulled me to my feet. What should we do next? He demanded, grinning. Huh? Next? I cried. Are you for real?
That was really scary, Clay said, his face still red. I thought we were going to get scrunched flat. It was awesome, Luke declared. Once again, he was forgetting that a few seconds before he'd been screaming in total panic. It was way too scary, Clay murmured, shaking his head. Clay's right, I agreed. It was too scary to be fun. One more second and... Don't you see? That's the whole idea, Luke cried. That's how they scare you here. It's so awesome. They make you think that one more second you're a goner, but it's all perfectly timed. They want you to be terrified, and then poof, you're okay. And then Joe Rogan walks out and he's like, hey, I'm Joe Rogan. I like fucking aliens and getting high and stuff, because I'm Joe Rogan. I did the Man Show with Doug Stanhope. People are disappointed about it. I thought it was okay because I got paid and I'm Joe Rogan still for this. What the fuck?
I guess you're right, said Clay doubtfully. He pushed up his glasses, then rubbed his chin.
We're not really going to get hurt or anything, Luke continued. This is an amusement park, remember? They want you to come back again and again, so they're not going to really hurt anybody.
Maybe, Clay said. But Luke, what if they mess up? I asked him. What if the machines get goofed up? What if the timing gets off? Let's say the floor underneath us got stuck. Then what? Luke didn't reply. He stared back at me thoughtfully.
What would have happened to us if the floor hadn't dropped away at the right moment? I demanded. Luke shrugged.
They make sure everything works okay, he answered finally. I rolled my eyes.
Yeah, sure.
Is it possible to really be scared to death? Clay asked me, a solemn expression on his face. I mean, it happens in books and movies. Does it happen in real life?
I don't know. Maybe, I replied.
I'll bet people could get scared to death in that house of mirrors, Clay continued seriously.
No way, Luke insisted. Listen to me. This is just a place for fun.
Scary fun.
He was watching something over my shoulder. I turned to see one of the guys in the green horror costumes walk by carrying a huge bouquet of black balloons. Luke hurried up beside the horror.
Hey, has anyone ever died in the park? Luke asked.
The horror kept walking, the black balloons bobbing above his head.
Only once, he told Luke.
One person died here? Luke asked. The horror shook his big green head.
No. Not what I meant.
What did you mean? Luke demanded.
A person can only die once here,
the horror said. No one has ever died twice.
And that concludes part one of One Day at Horrorland by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
Wow, I wanted to go forward to this one because this one has like a spinoff thing that I think is like a TV show and video games. Cause when I'm scoping eBay and whatnot to, buy Goosebumps stuff, there's always the, something, something Horrorland sets that always come up and I'm like, God damn it. I'm trying to buy Give Yourself Goosebumps and I always fail. So, yeah, this whole thing reminds me of, a bunch of ICP songs. I guess it's just kind of like a trite concept as is, but I'm having fun with it. You know, they're going on an adventure. It feels like a choose your own adventure, but I guess I can just choose to keep going on. Am I right, guys? Am I right, Kelly? I don't know where she is. Anyway, once again, I'm at Dune on Twitter. You can go to facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps. You can email me at dune@DuneReadsGoosebumps.com. You can fucking do cool shit sometimes online. Fucking something.
Stay spooky, bitches.